Bonjour, bienvenue. We're back. It's been a lifetime. I think our last show was in August, so I know we've had a lot of people been asking, where are they? Where are Jeff and Caroline? I love your podcast, but I haven't seen anything. Have I missed an episode? No, you haven't. life has been happening, so we apologize for that. But Caroline's with me today.
Hi, I made it.
How are you?
Corona?
Yes.
Outside
yes, this
corona.
Is our special coronavirus edition collaboration cafe. Not to make light of a very serious situation, but we need to laugh. We need to find some laughter in all of this too.
I don't know how much laughing we'll be doing, but we need to at least discuss it and open some dialogue.
Agreed. Agreed.
Listen, I'm so stressed out. Are you stressed out?
Yes and no, not as stressed as like friends of ours, mutual friends of ours in France have been sharing some wild stories about what's happening over there. But thankfully, there are no reported cases where I live in my county. I don't think that's the case where you live. I think there are some reported cases in. Yeah. I thought so. So for right now, life is a little less complicated for me than it might be for you, but of course we're all under the same mandates of drive-through carry-out restaurants only.
I know, I saw the thing where I was like, only delivery, oh no, what will I do? DoorDash. I'm a serial DoorDasher.
Well, then for you, life hasn't changed at all. Then it's just business as normal for you.
The same thing. I can barely even tell we're in a global crisis. I was joking with some of the history teachers at my school about how this is like my first global crisis. And then I had forgotten about 9/11, which I think was a global crisis. I don't know.
I would say so.
It
definitely impacted on a global scale.
Even if you count 9/11, it's my first global crisis in which I'm actually paying attention and aware of the implications of. That was kind of hard to do when I was like, you know, seven.
Fair. That's fair.
Yeah. I didn't understand.
But we're adapting. I'm experiencing like some.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Well, not really, but no, my biggest inconvenience has been going to the grocery store and trying to find things I would buy on any given day that I cannot find anymore. I don't understand this panic mentality of raiding the meat cases and raiding paper goods section. And junk food, where I live, there's a run on junk food. So I'm glad everyone's eating well during this crisis. but that's been kind of crazy. And I'm sure out in Charlotte, you're experiencing similar issues at the grocery store. Yeah.
I haven't been able to find toilet paper for like the last week and a half, but luckily I'm stocked up pretty good. And then people are running and raiding the meat case and stuff. And I was a little bit stressed out about that. But I think it's because I just called into the panic sphere where actually I'm totally prepared for the food thing because I have an entire deep freezer in my closet, which I blame it on the Italian in me. I think I just stored away enough food to feed like a multi-generational family, just in case they were to show up at any time. So like food wise, I'll be okay. Unless we really do go into the apocalypse in which I don't have anything. Please don't come over.
Likewise. I'm not having any company for dinner because I have not been hoarding groceries like a squirrel waiting for winter. It's been interesting. I stopped by the Lidl, which is my new favorite grocery store, because they have stuff. It's like I went to Walmart the other day, and that's when I had the panic about finding anything. And then I went by Lidl on Saturday, and they had anything I could want. I'm like, what are people panicking about? But then Sunday, I went to do my regular weekly shopping, and okay, now I saw the reality. It was kind of wild, but I've been back to Lidl since, and they continue to have most anything I want, except meat has been hard to find still. But they are doing something there that I was like, you know what? I wish more stores would do this. I can't believe I'm having this conversation with you. Toilet paper, Caroline, nowhere to be found where I live. And, but Lidl had some, but they were limiting 2 packages per customer. And I wish more stores would start to do that and impose, a maximum on what you can buy. And that way we don't have the problems that we're facing right now.
I saw that they were limiting hand sanitizer and like Lysol sprays, because starting really early, those were the 2 things that were sold out.
Right. I remember hearing about them.
Yeah. So I actually went into my classroom on Monday so that I could get the wipes and the hand sanitizer that I had there. So we were on spring break. We were doing, I think it's pretty early compared to most schools. So this Monday would have been our day back from spring break. And then
that's right.
Before, when I left for spring break, it was all handy dandy. Corona was still a ha 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 joke thing. Like, we did crepes and I was like, oh, wash your hands so you don't get the corona. And now I'm like, oh, it's not funny. Okay.
Yeah, the joke's over now.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Well, as anybody who might be listening outside of North Carolina, our governor shut down the schools last Saturday at 4:30. He got on TV and announced that all K-12 public schools, I think that was impacted also private schools as well, were ordered closed. And so I guess we wanted to talk about today, you know, we're all about, trying to keep our show education focused. So we wanted to talk about today, how are schools reacting to the coronavirus crisis? And we'd love to hear from you. Of course, you can always shoot us an email at thecollaborationcafe@gmail.com. Or find us on our Facebook page as well. So I guess, Caroline, we'll start sharing. Like, how is your school system reacting, responding, in your opinion? How are they trying to continue education and learning for the next 9 weeks?
Honestly, that's a great question. I wish I could tell you. Yeah. No, that's not accurate at all. I firstly am super proud to work with this district because we are ramping up to deliver online instruction, but admin has been really clear in like, hey, your first priority is checking on your kids and their mental emotional health, because I'm a mostly stable adult and I'm struggling to cope. So imagine how these teenagers are feeling. So I think the main purpose of instruction for us is going to be like providing some stability and trying to keep stuff going, but not overloading the kids. So this week we are prepping and doing PD and trying to get all our ducks in a row. Like I did this morning Canvas conference PD, which was very stressful, but ultimately useful. And so that's what we're doing this week. Next week is going to start, it's like a blended online, some online classes, there's like, here's your stuff, do it.
Right.
Some classes are like, meet with your teacher at this time. Ours is kind of half and half. So I'm going to meet with my class for, I think, like 2 hours a week per block.
Okay.
Inline stuff. And then the rest of it is going to have to be self-managed. So it's like half and half.
Okay. So my county, and I'm trying to wrap my head around this, if each of the high schools in our county is looking a little different. I feel like that's not the case. I think the message that we're receiving is kind of expected across the board, but we have been told for the next 2 weeks anyway, to prepare review packets of the first 9 weeks. So that's what we're trying to work on tomorrow. We are coming in shifts over the next 2 days. Well, today and tomorrow. Tomorrow's my department's turn to come in. But in respect to the ordinance of no more than 10 people in a workplace, that's why we're coming in shifts. So we have an hour and a half to get packets together, because we need to leave paper packets at the office for students who do not have internet at home. And this raises an interesting equity conversation, as far as, you know, how do we deliver virtual instruction when not all of our students, especially those of us teaching in rural communities, but even in more urban communities as well, it's a problem. It's just a problem of poverty. Students don't have, not all students have internet access. So to say we're just going to continue the semester online might not be a solution for everybody. So, and I know that is a particular problem in my county where I work. So we're trying to work on those solutions. So right now we're just working on a review for the next 2 weeks anyway. And then moving forward, I don't know. I don't know. I have friends who work in other school systems who their plan is to do nothing. They're not even, it's just over. It's just over. They're not, the teachers aren't teaching, the kids aren't doing anything. I don't know if that's the best solution, but I don't know. I mean, like my principal kept saying, he's been very good about getting information out to us, but then his information leaves me with a lot more questions. And he always responds by just saying, follow the directives and you'll be fine. But I'm like, I don't understand the directives.
That sounds like he doesn't know the answer to your question.
Right. So I'm kind of trying to read between the lines there, but
yeah.
I want to make sure that I'm doing right by the kids too. You know, I don't want it to be like, okay, we're on summer vacation until August now, you know, cause that's crazy too. So I don't know.
What's been so interesting to me in this whole like global crisis pandemic thing is like how different companies have been like offering free services. So first of all, Postmates has been spamming my inbox because I signed up for a free trial once. You know, that's the food delivery service. And each time they send me an email, it's less and less and less and less restrictions as to why I would Postmates. So like the first time it's like, delivery fee is this much. And now it's like, oh, free delivery and we'll leave it at your door. And then Spectrum is giving free internet. There's one other company that is, I don't know what it is. I just to free internet to students who would need it. I think like Duke Progress Energy, I think they just vowed to not do any disconnection of power of people. But it's kind of weird how like the corporations are like, hey, we'll help you. Except for Loom. I love Loom and they gave me a free account for forever. So use Loom. I don't know point of this is. I don't know. Well, I'm just talking so I don't have to listen to my own panicked thoughts.
We're here to help. We're here to help. we're all in this together. And it's just, you know, like my principal keeps saying in his emails, this is uncharted territory. It's new for everybody.
Yeah.
We just need to be flexible and work with it. Do you get the sense, you know, because I keep hearing this come up again and again about, you know, the students and I can speak for my children specifically who think they're on vacation. So I'm curious to know which in sense they are because they attend the school system I was just talking about where they're doing nothing. Do you think the students are emotionally impacted by the fact that schools are closed indefinitely, or at least probably for the rest of this school year?
I know for a fact that some of mine are, because one of the things that our principal asked us to do was send emails out to our kids, just message them through conference. Hey, here's what we're working on. Please let me know when you get this. And so I emailed all of my kids and I've gotten a lot of replies. Some of them are just like, bonjour. And some of them are like, hi, Ms. Hoka, how are you doing? I hope you're good. I miss being back in school, blah, blah, blah. So some of them are expressing that they know that it's a bit of a stressful time. I actually, we should post this on the Facebook. I'm am making a day by day document. So each day I load like a new activity in that they can do to help them kind of recenter and chill out a little bit.
I like that.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. I sent it out to the staff. And so there's no reason I can't send it out on the Facebook, but it's basically just like, there's only two things on it right now because it's only been 2 days. But the idea is I'm going to be putting in some YouTube videos, some progressive relaxation, like a beginner yoga, just any calm, centering thing that they can try. Because a lot of my kids, I don't know if it's specifically French class kids because they're just the best or what,
of course, but a lot of my kids
are really like aware of their own anxiety. And so I think they'd benefit from maybe a direction of where to start to help it out. I'll send that to you. It would be cool if, like, even if one kid in your school uses it, that would still be worth it.
I agree. Well, I will look forward to getting that from you.
I'm going to do it right now. Click, click.
So, related, you know, what do you think is happening this summer for us, for our summer gig? Do you think we're working in France this summer or no?
I don't know. Because what I have done is I have pushed that so far back to the bottom of my to-do list. I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing next week. See, make sure that I don't have symptoms that show up in the next 14 days.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. Like, I'm just kind of trying to do one fortnight at a time.
That's probably good advice. If I had to guess, I think it's probably not going to happen. But
yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
Thinking out loud.
Well,
what else is good in your life? Let's talk about something more exciting. How are things? How was the first 9 weeks gone? How was actually the first, however, 9 times 3? I mean, we haven't done a show since the beginning of the school year. So like what's new and what's going on in your neck of the world? Students and classes and everything.
I'll sum it up in as few phrases as I can. I made it through first semester. Fourth block didn't kill me as much as they were trying. they really, I learned a lot. I learned a lot. And so that was cool. I have a group of kids this year, this semester, that are really sweet, that are really excited to learn. I have been struggling with the split classes. I don't know why. I might just be slowing down, but this year
it's a lot to take on. And that was one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was how is that going? Cause that's a lot. That's a lot to.
Yeah. So, I mean, split classes are going good. I was struggling with it towards the end of the quarter before we left for spring break. And I had a whole new plan and a whole direction. And I was ready for the refresh and the restart. And I actually, so my school lets out at 2:30. I was there until 6:30 at night for 4 hours. It's 4 hours getting all my stuff ready so that on Monday I could come in and pick up my papers and work and start rededicating this split class and changing up the direction a little bit. I was just struggling to keep track of who was 3, who was 4, when this was due, when that was due. And I think that I needed to put more structure into it. And I'm a little bit annoyed that I am not going to get that chance, at least for the next 2 weeks.
Will you likely have a similar schedule next year, as far as you know?
Like that's this really crazy. That's a great question, but it's really hard to say because I we don't have the numbers in yet for how many kids requested the courses. We're not going to have those numbers until the 31st. And it is impossible to make any of those decisions without looking to see who actually wants to take the class. So I don't know. I've been going back and forth whether I should ask for split classes again or if it's just more trouble than it's worth. Because in the past, I think I've had a better relationship with my kids and it wasn't that big of a deal to put myself through all of this stress for them because they were like really appreciative. And I'm not getting that same vibe with this class. And so I'm trying to think, what am I trying to do with it? I want as many kids to learn French as possible, but if you're like in a level 3 class, just running down the clock, why am I killing myself? So on and so forth.
You know, I agree. And, you know, we talk a lot about self-care and part of the advocate in me says, do whatever it takes to keep a French program going.
Yeah.
But then at the other side, you have to put yourself first sometimes. It can't be always about the students. It is. And don't misunderstand me when I say that, but you know what I mean? Like, at what cost? Look at your physical health. Not that you are like a hot mess right now, but you know what I mean? Like it's a lot. Like, I don't have split classes, but I have 4 different preps that I do, and that's a lot to keep up with. And we'll talk about me in a minute, but I have some exciting changes coming for next year. So my workload will be a lot different next year, but I don't know. I was going to have a real honest conversation with my administration about my schedule. And it's not just me. We have a lot of teachers in my school who have 4 and sometimes 5 preps, 5 different preps, not even 5 classes, but 5 different classes. I would support you if you decide this is what's best for your program, but I would encourage you to really think hard about it.
I am also feeling extra jaded today because I'm overwhelmed with everything going on and what we're doing to do it. So it could be that you ask me about it tomorrow and I'm like, everything's great, daisies and sunflowers and whatever. Like, I think part of the reason is just I'm overwhelmed with outside events. So that's why I'm not super eager to say either yes or no. It's just more of a wait and see. Like, really, that's all we can all do right now is just wait and see. I'm going to do my best in the meantime, because in the meantime, I still have my split classes and we're still teaching them. And so I gotta get my, can we still bleep it? I got to get my ish together.
Yes. Get your ish together.
Yeah.
Very busy. Just busy. Just a lot to keep up with. We're in IB mode right now. We just did our internal assessment Saturday. Literally, we finished 4 hours before the governor announced schools were closed. We were up at school on Saturday doing these interviews. And then I got home and then lo and behold, no more school. They did okay on their first part of the test, but this is kind of wild. I was reaching out to the coordinator to find out, you know, in light of all these school closings, not just in the US, but across the world, what is IB planning to do as far as testing goes? Because the IB test, if you're not familiar with IB, it's the test is an international schedule and it all begins in May. And IB's response is testing is normal. They're not changing the testing dates. So we need to we have the extra challenge now of trying to teach. Yeah, I know. To try to teach IB classes remotely.
Florida canceled their end of year testing?
I'm not surprised. And quite honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if North Carolina does too.
We should be next.
Yeah.
Frankly. I mean, we can't expect these kids to sit through, again, a global crisis, no big deal. Okay, talk about your thing. I can't.
Okay. So I'm trying to figure out ways that we can still do working on the skills that we need to be working on to be successful for the rest of the exam coming up in May. So that is my struggle. But my good news, my exciting news for school anyway, for work, excuse me, is that I will be taking over as coordinator for the IB program next school year. The current coordinator has decided to step down, and I was asked if I would be interested in taking over the program, which I didn't hesitate. Yes, absolutely. I was interested. So I'm really excited for that challenge. So I'll be part-time teaching and part-time coordinating.
That's super cool.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Thank you. Thank you.
Are you still doing flank stuff?
I am still doing flank. Thank you for that segue. We just had, if you were at our conference at UNC Charlotte, it's been 2 weeks ago, March 7th, we had the spring conference, our best of flank. That was the first conference that I personally ever coordinated. Well, I had the name of coordinator, but it was really the effort of the whole board. I really didn't do it by myself, but so shout out to any of my board members who are listening, my fellow board members, I should say. I could not have done this conference without you guys. And if you were at the conference, thank you for joining us. I hope you had a great experience. We heard a lot of positive feedback, so we were really excited for that. And we had really only one person cancel out of corona fears, but we had a great showing. I think we ended up with 220 people, which is, for our spring conference, is really, really great. And speaking of conferences, of course, we have the big flank conference coming up in the fall in October. It'll be back in Winston-Salem. We are still accepting proposals, and you can submit proposal ideas at our website at flank.org, FLANC.org. And I think Caroline is presenting again this year. Did you submit?
I did not.
Well, you need to get on that, miss. I'm presenting. I'm going to present.
I'm in trouble.
No, you've been a great presenter the past couple of years. So if you want to take a year off, we respect that. Think about it.
Okay.
I'm going to be sharing some research that I did in graduate school. I'm going to lead a panel discussion on the role of poverty in the world language classroom in rural communities.
Ooh.
Yes. So if you're interested in that type of stuff, come check out my session in October. And we were talking before we started recording, if the fall conference is going to be canceled. As of now, no. You know, if America gets their act together and respects quarantine, we can get this virus under control. We should be back to normal, I hope, by October. So we're still going ahead planning our fall conference. So if you have some ideas for proposals, please, we'd love to have your proposals. And again, you can submit those to our website at flank.org. But that's my life in a recap. I mean, it's just been a busy, busy school year. And I feel like all I have done is schoolwork. And I imagine probably the same for you, given what you just said.
Yeah, it's a lot. Everything is fine.
Everything is fine.
I actually decided to, I'm basically going to teach them online about the French Resistance and do the World War II stuff. And just kind of, so as far as my split classes, I'm just going to combine French 4, French 5. There's just no way I can make this work with one extra class to juggle. So French 4 and French 5, I'm going to teach them about the French Resistance, because I think that would be a positive message of like that fighting spirit would do us all good.
I like that. I like that. Did I send you some of my resources for that?
No, but can you?
Or was that somebody else?
No, send it to me.
Yeah. A lot of everything is on paper, if you can believe that. And it's in a file folder in my classroom.
What?
I know. I know. Jeff. This is 2020 or 1920. I don't know.
I'm disappointed in you.
I'm sorry. But most of my stuff is digital. But a lot of that stuff is photocopies of stuff that I've gotten from other sources. So if I have time in my hour and a half window that I'm allowed to be in the building tomorrow, I will try to scan that for you and get that over to you.
Yeah, just grab it. Just grab it. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Okay.
All right. Well, what else do we have on the docket? Or was this really
it? That was it. We just wanted to check in with each other and check in with our listeners. And we hope that everybody is doing their part to stay safe and healthy during this pandemic. And hopefully you're doing your students right by keeping them engaged in French or Spanish or whatever language you might be a teacher of. Or maybe you don't even teach a language and you just like our show. But hopefully you're keeping students engaged in your content. I guess I'll say that. That way it covers everything. But we'll get through this. That's all we can say, right?
Yes. Yes. And I think we should end on some Spanish today instead of some French.
Oh, okay. Look at you. Are you going to impress us? Have you been learning Spanish during your quarantine?
Exactly one phrase of Spanish, and I've never been able to say it without somebody laughing at me.
Okay, I'm not laughing.
It's actually what I like to say when I'm stressed out and faced with a challenge, and I got it because the girls that were my dear friends and mentors in my teaching program, they were all Spanish speakers. Teachers, and so I'm the only French teacher. So our mantra had to be in Spanish. But si se puede, it can be done, is what I understand it means. I hope it doesn't mean like your mom's a hoe, because in that case, I need to fix.
my Spanish is limited to I learned one sentence, and I don't think Margie listens to the podcast, but if she does, my coworker at my last high school, we used to have a common planning, and I used to have an illegal coffee maker in my classroom, and I would make coffee every day for planning time, and when it was ready, I would go to her classroom and say, "El café está listo," which means the coffee is ready. So that's my Spanish. That's all I got. El café está listo.
Two solid things to know. All right. Well, I'm going to go make my own coffee because that's the only way I'm going to get
this. Yes, I need another cup myself. So
cheers.
Caroline and listeners, everybody, thank you for joining us today. We will probably have more time on our hands to maybe we'll do a check-in in another 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, and we'll put together another podcast on
we'll do it eventually.
We'll do another one.
We'll do one eventually on a subject. That's it. That's all I am agreeing to at this moment. We'll see
how That's fair. Well, everyone, thanks again for your support and your listenership. And we will look forward to talking to you again soon.
Si se puede.